This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard this Air France message. With Air France, your journey to France begins when you set foot on the plane, starting with a complimentary glass of champagne in every class. And in business and la première, savor a 5-course meal with cheese and wine and unique menus created by some of the greatest French chefs. Enjoy a taste of France before you arrive. Bon appétit. Elegance is a journey. Air France.
Never settle, unless it's into the electrifying BMW i4. Blend the lines of cutting-edge and classic with groundbreaking technology at your fingertips. Experience M-engineered precision while you twist around every turn. After all, electric doesn't have to be static. If you thought EVs couldn't live up to your expectations, then you've never experienced the ultimate electric driving machine. The 100% electric 2025 BMW i4.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
Yeah, buddy, hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. New Cowboys offensive coordinator Clayton Adams is talking about how he's going to blend his concepts with Brian Schottenheimer's, how hands-on he's going to be, and more. And we'll have audio highlights for you of the Cowboys' new OC talking here coming up in 20 minutes. Break it down for you, analyze it. Here's Wolchuk with your NFL news of the day.
So Lawrence Taylor is a player that Micah Parsons has been compared to over the course of his so far 4-year career. LT said this to Micah Parsons out during the Super Bowl. Radio Row jumped on Maintaining with Tyrus.
He didn't recommend crack to him.
No, not crack, but it is pretty hilarious. He said, quote, he's a great player, but
crack
guys,
energy. Give me that crack
the energy. The crackhead energy, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. But guys, let's do more. Let's play more football and less podcasts, is what LT had to say to Micah.
On a podcast. Nice.
Now, but the difference is LT retired in the Hall of Fame, been there, done that, Super Bowl champion.
Good point, necessary context.
So I guess like he now can do the podcast when you're playing, although I think Lawrence Taylor definitely would have been doing the podcast thing. And he was also doing a lot of things off the field.
There's no way. No way. He'd have been wheels off. You don't think, there's no way he'd be podcasting.
Oh, you don't think anybody would want him on there?
He'd go full Antonio, on crash out. Antonio Brown is podcast.
He'd be crashing out on podcasts left and right. You don't think LT? I think we would have gotten some gold.
But this
from
is
LT.
Crackhead CTE we're talking about. This is a different variant.
It's hard to say, but I don't think he was one that wanted to be in the public eye that often.
He was trying to like hide and just smoke crack alone in the dark.
I don't think that. I don't know about the crack and all that, but I just think he wasn't like a media guy. He was really blue collar and tough and not for fooling around and chatting. Right?
Which checks out.
He was
out.
All business.
Because now he's telling Micah, you need to be about a business.
Yeah.
Stop talking, more football.
Yeah. And, he was definitely a party animal. Like, we're around the same age. He's a little bit older than me, but some of my older friends were at UNC with him. And they were like, when he walked into a party, everybody knew it, right? Because he was a superstar, obviously. But he was just a force of nature, slamming beers and getting in fights. He was just a wild man, So I don't know how much he'd want to be exposed to the public eye. On this Micah Parsons thing, there's so many players who are saying he shouldn't do it, So I don't think this is a media and fans thing, like getting on a player. It's also a player thing. I guess from a media perspective, I'm kind of like pulling for him to figure it out, because we got to watch him basically as a weekender who had never done it, like a lot of the guys around here, trying to grow. And you can kind of see him getting better.
He is.
So I don't know if it's good or bad, but I'm enjoying like his media journey.
He just took over the Rich Eisen show too the other day and he switched spots with Rich, said now it's the Micah Parsons show.
Wow.
Let me interview you. But Rich still couldn't let him just take the full reins. He was like, look, I am a control freak. Anybody that runs a good show knows that, and I still am asking you questions even from this chair. Then he had to force himself to just let Micah do what he wanted to do. But the only thing that I like about this is possibly his ability to put pressure on the front office through
I
the
love
show.
It. Yeah. Because
Dak's not going to do that. That's just not Dak's way. But maybe Micah can add some more pressure and fuel via his podcast to the front office to actually do some necessary things.
I can see that. You
know, that's my one positive with it.
Maybe he can recruit Dak to come along for the ride.
Come on over.
Yeah.
Franchise tag window did open today. Now, Bengals, reportedly, they're going to tag T. Higgins. Now, this is probably to try and get a new deal done. It just keeps that window open a little bit. But reports out of Cincy, our buddy Ben Baby there, ESPN, North Texas, Mean Green. So the team's going to attempt to secure all three of their studs, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Trey Hendrickson, who led the league in sacks this year. So it's going to start with T, then they'll probably move on to Jamar and Trey Hendrickson. But maybe this is the offseason. Joe Burrow's been very outspoken about this. You actually do see the Bengals go ahead and open up and pay somebody a little bit of money because all three of those dudes are studs if they want to win. And Joe Burrow, he's already said, hey, window's open as long as I'm here. I'm keeping that window open.
Yeah, and it's tough for the Bengals too. Smaller family, not as wealthy. So when they're like, when it's time to give a $50 million signing bonus.
Yeah, it's tough.
They're like, crap.
It's tough.
That's we got to get 50 mil.
They don't have any other income other than their NFL team. So it's kind of tough for them to handle those types of contracts.
Looks like the Saints, they're putting together their head coach, Kellen Moore. He's got his staff ready. Scott Tolzien's coming over from the Cowboys, going to be the quarterback's coach there. And I saw a few hours ago, Nick Underhill of the Saints had said that it seemed like it was going to be their new offensive coordinator, former OC of the Cowboys, Doug Nussmeier, who was in play here to possibly be, if Kellen moved over, he's going to take over
Doug.
The Saints job.
That's really good for Doug because of his son playing his final year at LSU. He'll be only like 70, 80 miles away.
Just drive on over.
Oh, yeah, he can go on over and see his son play far more.
Maybe they draft him. Who knows? Yeah. Maybe he ends up being a Saint. So you got Doug Nussmeier, Scott Tolzien joining Kellen Moore, at the staff over there in New Orleans. Saw that the Bengals did already pay their punter. Okay, so Ryan Reckow, who had a gross average of 50 yards a punt, net average of 42.9. Those were Bengals season records. He got a two-year contract extension. So they're paying their punter. Jamar Chase is like, where am I in this, huh? Go ahead and give me some money when it comes to some of this that you're giving the punter. This is ridiculous. That was probably an easy one to get done.
He was like, hey, T, Jamar, if you guys want punter money, man, we got it for you.
We got you guys. How about John Madden's grandson, Jesse Madden? He's joining the coaching staff with the Commanders. That was pretty cool. Keeping the Madden family in the National Football League. And then the rumoruskies that we've been hearing around the league, Chris Godwin probably not going to get franchise tag. So maybe he hits the open market.
A pretty big injury, right? It was a knee explosion.
It was, but he's come back twice from these. He's still only 28 years old. He was having a tremendous 2024 season before the injury. So medically, you're going to have to get that checked out. But gosh, maybe that's a one-year prove-it deal for Chris Godwin as well, if nobody wants to go ahead and sign him long-term. And then you've got Khalil Mack and the Chargers. They're hoping to reunite, but maybe Mack leaves. I've seen the Packers, which would be very reminiscent of like Julius Peppers ending his career in Green Bay. I think if Khalil Mack at 33 years old did consider
Charles
retirement.
Woodson.
Yep, absolutely. That's another one. But the Chargers are hopeful that they can get Khalil Mack back there. And Devontae Adams wants to play West Coast, according to Jeremy Fowler. So he's going to have options, but he's intrigued by the West Coast. You have teams like the Rams, Chargers, maybe the 49ers in the mix. So he would like to go play back in the West Coast. We've heard the flirtation also with Green Bay. Maybe they have a reunite there in Lambeau with Devontae Adams, or could he wait and sign wherever Aaron Rodgers goes? I don't know. Maybe they end up being a package deal. But
I think I've seen enough of that if I'm Devontae.
Yeah, I'd probably go ahead and hitch my wagon somewhere else, but they seem to have a good relationship.
I mean, you're thinking Rams at that point, aren't you, or Niners?
Well, see, I'd go Rams, but I don't know what their quarterback position is going to be like. So you've got the ESPN reporting that the Rams are hesitant to invest any more long-term money into Matthew Stafford when his future is in question. So they met initially before the Super Bowl. Not much has happened since then. But since he's kind of year to year right now, like, am I playing, am I not? The Rams might be wanting something a little bit more stable. And they also don't want to keep just pumping money into a guy that they don't know if he's going to be around. So maybe he does get traded. Maybe they end up working something out with his contract. But I do think if I was Devontae Adams and Matthew Stafford is not with the Rams, I don't know if I'd really want to go there or not. Now, maybe Sean McVay is just a wizard. He's able to wave that magic wand like Kevin O'Connell did, and here's Sam Darnold or whoever it is, and they play pretty good football for you. But I definitely got to see about that domino with Stafford.
So he had a hip strain in 23. He had a thumb in 23, and he had back soreness in 24. I don't know. I mean, I guess he's 37 years old, and you're not, and he's kind of hemming and hawing about continuing to play. Maybe they look at it like, we're going to get out now before it gets bad.
Yeah.
Because he's still playing well. I think there will be a robust market for Stafford, won't there?
I think there would be, too. I think there'd be some teams that are definitely interested.
QB needy teams for sure. And we've talked about, like, the Steelers really make a ton of sense if you're going to make a trade.
Trevor Lawrence, yesterday I gave the news about the Steelers situation. And the Steelers supposedly called, asked about Trevor Lawrence. Shaq said, no chance is he even available for a trade. He jumped on Up and Adams show with Kay Adams, and she asked him about it. And here was D-Law.
I saw it, and it's funny, though. When he sent it to me, I was like, you know, I wouldn't say your heart drops, but you're kind of like, what? Like, you think, and then I'm like, I can't even get, I have a no trade clause in my contract. So I would know about it if I was getting traded, or if that was something that was going to happen, you know, I'd have to be on board with it. So, which I'm not, I'm happy here in Jacksonville. I plan on, you know, we want to win a Super Bowl here. And, you know, I think we can do that. And I don't want to leave Jacksonville. So I'm happy here, obviously, not going to Pittsburgh.
Not going to Pittsburgh. He's happy there in Jacksonville. Wants to win a Super Bowl in Jacksonville. What else are you going to say, though? Like, I heard the little laugh there, Brian, but come on. What's Lawrence supposed to say? Like, I don't believe we can win a Super Bowl here?
I would say that.
Just be honest.
Just tell the Jag fans. I
need to get the hell out of here.
As soon as they gave me that contract, we were bleeped.
We were bleeped.
Go Myles Garrett on it. You know, I got to realize
I got to get the hell out of here.
Yeah. No, I think he's part of the problem. That's probably why. You know, he doesn't feel like he should be talking about anybody else at this point in his career.
Panthers just signed the Red Rifle. Andy Dalton has re-signed with Carolina. 2-year, $8 million deal. $6 million guaranteed for Adam Schefter. So good news for Andy Dalton, TCU zone, Katy, Texas. He's sticking around, baby. 2 more years of Andy.
Let's have fun and play together, boys.
Jimmy Neutron ain't going
anywhere.
Intense
eyebrows.
Very
intense,
much so.
Yeah. Intense. With a smile on his face the whole time, my eyebrows just looking at you like crazy.
Big time smile. Yeah. I loved what Cam Ward did. He just put the rest of the National Football League on notice, and he had a message to teams that, look, if you don't draft me, I'll remember it. Mm. And Cam Ward might end up being that dude in this class when we look back on it. It's always so hard to project these quarterbacks, but there is something about Cam Ward that I've been loving, been watching him, and he just carries himself with that it quality. And it's like, what is it? I don't know. That's something you can't necessarily put into words. I thought Michael Penix Jr. had it last year.
How about it is winning?
And he
this kid wins every level.
Moments
he's at,
never
wins.
Really too big never, for him. Wins. When he moved over to Miami last year, I'm looking at him like, yeah, I don't know. Is he an NFL prospect? I'm not sure. No. Could he just be an awesome college player? Because he's a little bit smaller. But man, this kid just gets it done. And even behind a bad offensive line, just finds a way to buy time, make plays. Maybe he holds the ball a little bit too long. I think all of these quarterbacks now, you could say, hey, they're trying to live for the home run play. Caleb Williams did it last year. Jaden Daniels did it last year. Cam Ward's no different there, but I'm not going to knock on him. I'm excited to see where Cam Ward ends up going in this draft.
Is he legit 6'2"?
Maybe it's number one. We'll see at the combine.
Yeah.
We'll see if he's legit 6'2". I think he's smaller than 6'2".
He's smaller, but man, I'll tell you what, the elusive ability, the balance he plays with in the pocket, the awareness he plays with in the pocket, you know, he could dance around there. I was watching, they have an offensive tackle that needs to play guard, and I was watching it, and I really haven't studied Cam Ward at all, but I'm watching him play, and my eyes keep going to like him, like Miami's offensive line is just completely falling apart in the game, and he's like reversing, stepping up, spinning out, going forward, making throws and
off platform.
Yeah,
throws.
They've got it. It's amazing. I mean, he keeps him in that game. But if he's a smaller, shorter guy, he moves enough to find himself space to throw the ball.
And the cannon, right? The cannon. Yeah,
he can hold it up on film.
It looks amazing.
Yeah. And his deep ball accuracy is pretty darn good as well. I did see James Pierce Jr., the edge from Tennessee. There's a report out about him that one playoff team's director of player personnel said that he's, quote, in danger of getting dropped off our board because of a lot of character concerns. So
that's the huge disadvantage that we have.
We don't know about any of that.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard some whispers, like, possibly Mike Green. If you go back and look at why did he end up at Marshall from Virginia, is there something there in his background? Like, I love the player. I'd love Mike Green at 12 for the Cowboys. I think he's an absolute star. But James Pierce Jr., another one of these really twitchy, bendy, explosive guys off the edge, I don't think he's particularly good at stopping the run. But right now, it's all about getting to the quarterback in the NFL. But maybe he's a guy that you see slide. I mean, Randy Gregory moved into the second round because of off-the-field concerns. So maybe James Pierce Jr., I don't think Daniel Jeremiah had him mocked in the first round of his most recent one today. So maybe he's hearing some of the same stuff when it comes to James Pierce Jr. out of Tennessee. This would not be good, guys, but NBC's reporting. Netflix looking to pay for the rights to the NFL's Sunday afternoon package from Fox or CBS.
Boo!
Yeah, that really sucks, dude. Now they're going to make you basically pay for regular season games.
Sunday games exclusively streaming on Netflix, that could actually be a real possibility. The NFL on Netflix?
$50 a month Netflix.
Oh, yeah, they're gonna spike their...
Because they know we're going to pay for it. It's like, I'm not going to watch football, so I'm going to pay for it, and I'm going to hate watch you. Well, I'm not going to hate watch you because I love the sport, but I hate you, Netflix. This could be terrible. I don't want this.
Yeah, like, what is the price point that you'd be okay with it? I don't know. You know, I hate to say it again, you know, but it is... It's pushing more and more people into the pirating world, and you don't want to do that, right? You have to do a cost-benefit analysis because people are becoming so technically savvy. Like, you know, it used to be my generation was the tech-savvy one, but we really couldn't do jack squat, right? The millennials and the zennials, it's nothing for them to pull up a VPN and to jailbreak their Fire Stick. They're like, oh, yeah, I can follow directions and Google it. AI can help me. You know, so I would caution leagues against it, you know, because people will have their way of getting content if you want to overcharge them or make it too difficult.
Man, I can't even fathom it. Like, no Fox or CBS, it's not that easy. You got to, actually, it's on Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, how do you even, I wonder how long it would take for this to actually come to fruition. Would they just copy and paste the broadcast teams from CBS and Fox into Netflix? Like,
you're
just
in the Netflix umbrella.
You're just, it's all
kind of like part of the purchase price.
Their Christmas Day deal.
You're selling your talent to Netflix is what you're doing. It's part of the purchase. I'm going to be honest with you. On Sundays, it wouldn't bother me one bit because I find myself with doing a pregame show with Eric. Maybe it's a 3:00, 3:25 game. Really don't watch those games because you're doing pregame show. And then you're doing at nighttime, you're like, you're usually watching a Cowboy game. I mean, I wonder how many people would really that. I mean, I know
most of us aren't working. You're in a unique situation.
To me, it's one of those things where I'm like, I never get to watch games.
Yeah. Most people were not. Because
I mean, if I want to watch a game, I could go back and watch it on tape.
Yeah.
But I don't get to. I wonder how many people are in a situation where they don't.
I don't think a lot.
I think you're an outlier there, Brian. I think most people wake up, get breakfast, go to church, come home, watch football for 9 hours.
That's what I would be doing if we weren't working the game.
Yeah, I was just wondering. I was just saying myself, I don't watch, like I say, I don't even, it's funny when you do pre and post, you don't get to watch enough games. So I wouldn't pay for the Netflix thing.
Hey, shoot, but again, right? Like, even if you're not a football fan and you have Netflix, your price is changing.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. That part of it's true.
Because they're going to inflate it because they know they can get new subs for the NFL.
I'd hope they'd give some people a non-NFL Netflix possibility. Maybe it takes on a Sunday ticket type of feel.
I think Netflix just went up. I just got a notice about that.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, that's a good point, though, because now you can buy, like, if you do these bundles, like Disney Plus, Hulu, ESPN, there's a $10 more price you can pay for no commercials. So it's like, what is it, $19 for with commercials?
Hard to do that for YouTube.
And then $29 for non-commercial. So maybe they do that with Netflix. Like, okay, here's your set price. If you want the NFL, it's an extra $10 or whatever the heck they're going to charge you.
Right now, it's running $25 a month with no ads.
Gosh.
$18 a month standard. I remember it was $4.99. It was a lot of fun to send in those DVDs until you lost one.
Oh, man. See, I never really experienced that personally. I saw others, you'd go to somebody's house, they'd have the Netflix deal, but I never actually did that. I didn't do it much because I wouldn't send them back.
Yeah.
And it burned me a couple of times. I preferred the days of actually just going up to the grocery store and hitting the Blockbuster right next door.
God bless Blockbuster, man.
Yeah, your friend had the Friday, but it was in the Blockbuster case.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
like, this is not, you didn't buy this at Best Buy, bro. Yeah. You still have this.
Yeah, we're not welcome back there at Blockbuster anymore. Our account's suspended. Krusty's Corner at 340. C-Note, we've heard from Cowboys' new OC for the first time. We'll give you the highlights coming up next. Here's the G-Bag Nation.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You want to get the most for your money? Well, that's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Lease a new 2025 Mazda CX-5 all-wheel drive. Just $229 a month or buy and get 0.9 APR financing up to 36 months. Start shopping now at RamseyMazda.com. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Call 833-853-2970 for details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN number SO558897. MSRP 3585. Ends 2/28/25.
Here we go, Nation. Time now for the C-Note Cowboys News of the Evening here on the Fan. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Okay, we'll get some headlines here for you in just a second, but it's been a big day up there at the Star with the Cowboys' new offensive coordinator, Clayton Adams, talking for the first time. Cut number one on blending his concepts with head coach Brian Schottenheimer.
Yeah, that's exactly where we're at, is just trying to mesh what the vision of what he wants is, because he's going to call the plays. And so I think it would be dumb on my part to try to force a lot of things on that call sheet that he doesn't want to call or he doesn't feel comfortable calling. So I have not had a major background with him. I had talked football with him in the past. I had known him a little bit, but we're really excited. I'm very excited to work with him and just to continue to learn each other a little bit. And I think that's always going to be a process of, you know, we're all molded a little bit by our experiences, and so there's going to be, you know, we're going to get out into some practices and talk through some things, and I'm going to see some things differently, he's going to see some things differently, and it's going to be a growing process. You know, you get into games and you have to have those same type of experiences, both good and negative.
Molded by the experience of the practices is what I really like about that cut, because I feel like Schottenheimer is bringing in Adams for his expertise. And Adams is doing a nice job, not usurping the coach or saying, yeah, we're going to do it my way. He's the head coach, but we're going to get together and troubleshoot these things and come to an agreement on what he wants to call. But you want Adams to have a huge influence on this scheme, don't you, Wolchuk?
Absolutely. And it was interesting when I was reading about the Eagles and some of their offensive players talking about what they want in their next OC, and they talked about the communication. And one thing that they did like about Kellen, maybe Kellen learned and grew from his time with the Cowboys and realized the importance of, like, okay, if my players are interjecting and they see something, they want this, they like a certain play here, incorporating all of those ideas. I mean, we talk all the time about coaches being stubborn, set in their ways, my way or the highway. I think now, and I think a big reason why you saw the Cowboys offense flourish a couple of years ago, Dak and CD's visions were heard. Maybe a lot of that had to do with Brian Schottenheimer being a common, you know, middleman there in that communication, and hopefully Clayton Adams can take that to another level.
How hands-on is he going to be with the offensive line? Here's more from Clayton.
I definitely won't stay away from that. I think that it's a little bit to be determined exactly how all those things are going to work, because I think, you know, we need to get out and coach these guys a little bit, and we need to get past the point where we're just all trying to speak the same language, which is kind of where we're at right now. In regards to my involvement with the offensive line, I want to have a great relationship with all these guys, and I really want to build genuine relationships so that they know that I'm here to help them play the best football of their careers, and that, you know, they know that we're going to have a very clear and communicated standard for what we expect from them. For me, that's going to start in the offensive line room, and I'm very excited about developing a relationship with those guys. But also, like I said, you know, I need to have that same relationship with Dak. I need to have that same relationship with CD. So my time's going to be spread a little bit more in that way, but it's going to start in the offensive line.
All right.
Love that.
Yeah, what do you like about it?
Everything starts with the offensive line. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we just saw that win in the trenches, you're going to win. And to me, like, this offensive line has a lot of youth. I think Terrence Steele's a guy that's going to benefit from some fresh new coaching as well. I don't know that he was at his best compared to losing Philbin with Solari. I think you might have seen a regression there. Maybe now with Riley and with what Clayton Adams is going to bring, you get a better version of Terrence Steele. You got a young Cooper Beebe. You got a young Tyler Guyton. Hoffman's learning. Awesome Richards is learning. There's a lot that they can do with a young group of offensive line. The Cowboys need some internal growth from.
Yeah, if that college coach works with everybody, and that and we got to, you know, and you got this coach, the OC, working with Guyton. Line one needs to be Guyton, in my opinion. You do not need to go into next year like having questions about, is he going to be ready to play or not?
Yeah.
You know, you have to go in there and, you know, the evaluation, and, you know, is that there's some things we can change here. I mean, there's some technique things. How committed is he? The first thing I would do if I was at OC, yeah, he's going to sit down with Dak, because Dak's going to stop by his office and talk to him and all that. I'm finding Guyton. I'm setting up a meeting with Guyton. I'm getting me and the line coach, and we're going to figure this thing out.
Can they do that in the offseason? They
Heck
can meet
yes.
all they want?
Absolutely you can.
I mean, you can work him out?
Well, if he's down there in the weight room and all that, I mean, you could schedule a meeting with the kid. You know, say, hey, when are you in town? Want to meet you for lunch? Come by the facility. We'll sit down. We'll talk.
Yeah.
Line one needs to be to figure that one out.
Yeah, because if we don't have a good left tackle, we have a quarterback at 30 years old with 4 years on his contract. We can't spend years developing him.
I don't care who you are scheme-wise. If your offensive line play, and especially at left tackle, is bad, you're not going
anywhere.
You're in trouble. Yeah, you're not going. So you need to figure out, yes, we can rely on this kid, or no, we can't. We might have to go into the draft. We might have to go with Awesome Richards. We might have to try and keep Adoga. You know, we might have to do something.
Let's go spend some money March 15th. That's what I'm thinking.
I'm all
tell
for
me what we
money.
Have here.
I'm spending money at linebacker, Dawson. I'm sorry. I'm going to go out and get Nick Bolton is what I'm going to do. I'm going to try and I got to figure out. I don't have that many linebackers in this draft.
You're not getting a left tackle either.
Well, if you asked me, if you said, what's a position I don't have to have? We did it today on the draft show. What was our argument that we
offensive
had?
Line.
Offensive line. We've got offensive linemen. We got to figure out how they all fit together and can play. That's what we have to figure out. We don't have any linebackers.
Hey, Dowdle got 4.6. You know, it might be poor in protection, but they can do some things in the run game.
I feel like, though, to me, with that, with a lot of it had to do with the back itself, and they got rid of, well, I shouldn't say got rid. They moved on
to the
right
guard.
The right guard. And then your center got better as the season wore on. He was no longer like kind of struggling to get to second level and get blocks. You know, so you got two guys that are now going to work with this offensive line. They hired a third guy too to be like an assistant offensive line coach.
Nice.
But figure out what you currently have. You can't keep throwing resources at this offensive line. There's other positions that need to be taken care of.
Well, I think you've seen from Clayton Adams in Arizona and from Coach Riley from K-State, who's now the O-line coach. Like, these are guys that are used to playing.
They get more out of less.
Yes. They're doing a lot more with less. It's not like K-State has all the five-star recruits on the offensive line, but they perpetually have good ones. And he's probably college coaches, like, more teaching, having to show how it's supposed to be done. Mm-hmm. I think there's reason for optimism that every one of your younger offensive linemen can at least be appreciably better. Cut four is a question that I love. Does this run scheme need a mobile quarterback? Here's Clayton.
I think that it certainly can help you when you have the ability, because if you are reading a run, essentially you're taking a digit off the board on defense. But I think if you were to look at, you know, what we did over the course of the past 2 years, probably 70% of it was under center stuff that was going to be handed off. I think anytime you have the ability back there to read with that guy, it's a bonus for you. In regards to how often you need to do it, I think that, you know, the necessity for that really shows up when you're looking at like really low tight red zone plays, or a gotta have it game on the line type thing. And I think that most quarterbacks end up in that position at some point, you know, if they're somewhat athletic. You got to be kind of picky and choosy about when you're doing it.
Love that. You know, this is one of the most important things, is how do you get the most out of Dak Prescott? I do think he's athletic enough to still take free yards. I think he can still juke a guy here and there. What you don't want is him, you know, doing a high volume of it or getting out there, you know, and getting in a ton of collisions. But if it's an easy 5-6 yards in a slide, I love that. I love a lot of the things that we're hearing here from Clayton Adams, and we'll get more from him and from the defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus here coming up a little bit later on in the show. Brian,
did anybody? I wonder in the clips, and I didn't go through them, and maybe I should have. Did anybody ask him if he's already sat down and looked at this team? He's looked at this offense. Can you tell in the clips? Did anybody ask him the question like, "What did you see when you sat down and studied this offense?"
No, they were more open-ended. He did talk about excitement level working with Dak and CD and Jake Ferguson and some of the skill players, but that's as much as he did.
I'm sure he sat down and just kind of poured through clips or poured through games and kind of had an idea about personnel. And I wish somebody would have asked him about that, but, you know, another day.
Yes, sir. It's time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, one of our friends did a mock draft. He did some interesting things ahead, but behind is where I have the questions. We'll do those next.
Well, thank you, Lucius. G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Energy, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king, Brian.
Thank you very much, Reliant. Thank you very much, General. Happy birthday to you, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, living it up, big 4-9.
Did I just hear you're going on a fast for sweets?
I was fasting over the weekend, trying to get my system cleared out. Got Lent coming up.
Oh, we got the big Lent challenge coming up, right?
No days off.
I mean, I was in the zone.
Day by day. No days
about
off.
About 3 days before day Christmas, I got to my mom's house, tore through so many sugar cookies, and that was the end. So basically for the last 6 weeks now, I've just been eating all the sweets. and it needed to come to an end. So it did.
It did.
Yeah, it did.
But, right up until pre-show cinnamon roll.
The cinnamon roll?
Yeah. Yeah, well, Bassick had some donuts delivered. A Tolo sent him some donuts.
Thunder and, Dan.
And who am I to turn down a donut, Brian?
No.
You know, that's what I said.
Fast or not, who am I to turn down a donut, right?
The fast is over.
Fast yeah. is over.
I mean, a birthday cinnamon roll, let's be honest.
Right?
That smells cinnamon rolls.
That's the worst thing I do.
It sounds like that was supposed to happen.
Now we're getting some of that pizza ordered up, aren't we here?
That's right.
Yeah. Some pizza.
A little birthday pizza.
A little birthday pizza, yep. All right. Our buddy Daniel Jeremiah had put out a second mock draft, okay? And the reason I want to talk about Daniel, we know, former NFL scout, got a lot of connections in the league. A lot of guys still respect him, you know, for what he was able to do. I like Daniel. We get along very, very well. I have a lot of respect. But I think he talks to a lot of guys and gals around the league and kind of gets an idea about these picks. So his mock draft is a little bit different. If you remember the first time around, he picked Ashton Jeanty for the Dallas Cowboys. On this time around, he did something that I personally wouldn't do. And Zach, I'm going to need your help on this one too, because I kind of feel like that they like this player that Daniel Jeremiah selected more than what you and I like.
Okay, let's do this. Let's talk about this. Let's be vulnerable.
Are we going back to Ole Miss?
I think we are.
Okay, yeah, but this is what he did. Okay, Abdul Carter went to Tennessee at 1. Cam Ward was to Cleveland at 2. Travis Hunter to the Giants at 3. Will Campbell, that was a repeat for him from the previous mock draft. So he must be like thinking, you know, like, okay, I've got some. You remember how our guy from the old NFL Network, what was our guy?
Mike Mayock.
No.
Schrager's always in the Cardinals.
Had the Cardinals.
Charlie Casserly.
Yeah. Peter Schrager.
Schrags, my guy.
Yeah, Peter. You're still over there randomly naming like NFL people.
NFL draft, NFL Network draft guys. I'm thinking Mayock. I'm thinking Casserly.
I was just watching Mayock talk about how in the world the Bengals can pay all these guys. I'm like, he might not be the person to ask.
Yeah.
Mike Mayock, man.
But he's got Will Campbell going to the Patriots at 4. Mason Graham's been pretty consistent to Jacksonville at 5. Shedeur Sanders goes to the Raiders at 6.
Cat.
Tyler Warren goes to the Jets at 7. That's your tight end
pick as well.
That's a repeat pick.
That is kind of a Jets pick.
That is a Jet. Jalen Walker, the linebacker edge from Georgia, goes to the Carolina Panthers at 8. New Orleans takes Zach's favorite guy, Mike Green, the Marshall
dude's
edge.
Moved into the top 10.
He's in the top 10. He's number 9. Number 10, Chicago Bears take Kelvin Banks. If you remember last time, he had Kelvin Banks, the tackle from Texas, going at, before the Cowboys were picking, I believe. Or it might have been, excuse me, I've been after the Cowboys was picking on that one. But anyway, Kelvin
Banks. He had him go to the Dolphins.
He did. Kelvin Banks goes to the Chicago Bears at 10. 49ers take corner Will Johnson. Man, I would be like, okay,
that's what she said.
I'm okay with that. But Will Johnson goes to the 49ers 11. Okay, here's your Dallas Cowboys. So he takes Walter Nolan there for the Cowboys. And he's telling us that Walter Nolan is a very twitchy disruptor and could replace Osa Odighizuwa if he departs in free agency. Zach, we were on the draft show this morning and had this discussion about Walter Nolan. And I'm getting to the point that I personally would not like the Cowboys to select Walter Nolan
here. I would not like it either. I have braced myself for this to end up becoming a very sexy pick linked to the Cowboys because I think there's a lot of Walter Nolan love in that
building. He's a defensive tackle, Doss. He's a 3 technique there.
Super athletic, and he is. I mean, the guy's 6'3", 300 pounds. When he talks about him being a twitchy disruptor, he is. He is. The problem is it's just not consistent at all. It doesn't happen enough. He can have a quick burst off the line. He has a good bull rush when he's able to play with leverage. He doesn't always play with it. He holds his round to the point of attack, but he can get stood up. He's able to do all of these things. You just don't see it throughout the course of a game.
That's not what we need. That's boom or bust.
This is a guy who, like, you know, Bobby used the phrase mold of clay during the draft show today. This is where it's like you see a guy that ticks off all my athletic boxes, my measurables. I see it. I've got a vision for the player. I can mold him into an every down Aaron Donald badass.
Yeah.
I don't see it on tape. And, and to me, I'd rather at 12 for the Cowboys, I need a dude who's going to hit the ground running. Maybe I'm totally wrong on the evaluation of Walter Nolan, and he ends up being the best defensive tackle in an outstanding defensive tackle class. But for me, I'd be scared out of my mind that this could be another Tristan Hill, Mozzie Smith, a guy that's not giving you great production, and they severely need it with the way they teamed.
Yeah, throw Taco in there as well.
Yeah, this one, and I think Wolchek has painted the right picture with this kid. He did transfer from Texas A&M, and now he's in a rotating system there with Ole Miss, so you kind of get a little bit of like play two plays, off for four plays, play one play, off for three plays.
You should come in with your hair on fire in that situation.
But there's times though, Dawson, he'll come off the ball with some quickness, and then the next time he's slow, and so you're kind of wondering about, okay, where's the fire for the player? And I
shouldn't have to coach fire at this level.
I saw a kid that got knocked around. I thought he'd get played off balance.
Guys are thinking that this is a trendy thought up there?
Yeah.
I think Walter Nolan would be in play for them.
There's some talk or whispers, whatever you want to call it, that they like Walter Nolan a lot more than we do. And I just wonder about that, me personally, because I'm going to focus on what happens again after this pick is made. And yeah, sure, the Cowboys absolutely could use a three technique, you know, if Oso Digizua is not back. But what happens is you go a little bit later in the draft, and okay, Wolchek, Tampa Bay at 19 takes Tet McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona.
See, there's no way if he's sitting there at 12.
I don't know how Dallas would pass on that at 12.
I don't know how you pass on him.
I really don't
either. To me, he's a top five player in the draft.
Yeah.
I don't know how he gets to 19. I don't know if this was Daniel Jeremiah of like, oh, crap, I forgot to put Tet McMillan somewhere. I'd be stunned if he slid like that.
I would be stunned, too. Okay, Pittsburgh takes at 21. Now Ashton Jeanty goes to Pittsburgh. Okay, if he gets past Dallas, I know talking to Dane Brugler that he thinks there's going to be a slide here.
Which makes sense based on running back needy teams. Like, none of these guys really need a back.
Okay, Wolchek, I'm about to make your point. If you're looking for a running back, if you pass on Jeanty, say in the first round, this is what happens, okay? So Jeanty's off the board. Hampton goes to the Chargers at 22.
Makes sense. They're about to lose Dobbins in free agency.
Okay, here we go. Henderson, Ohio State running back, now goes at 24. Okay, so now you're
Vikings sitting, need a back.
Now you're sitting there thinking, okay, well, we'll wait till 44 to grab one of these running backs. This thing might be looking like at 44. If you're looking at running back, you might be looking at a guy that's a third round running back on your board. Now, I say Johnson hasn't been taken, but from Iowa. But I don't think he's. I could say he could very well go as the last running back before Dallas picks at 44.
Well, if it's, you know, a boom-bust defensive tackle or Jeanty, and you can tell me there's not going to be another second-round back at 44, that might steer me.
There's a chance. What you have to maybe prepare for, and if you do it through Daniel Jeremiah's draft, is that a running back goes at 21, a running back goes at 22, a running back goes at 24. So all of a sudden, these running backs, like Zach's been telling us, it's like, hey, I'm worried, guys.
Yeah.
Everybody's got this 44 earmarked for a runner. There might not be the runner you want there. And so now you're having to kind of say, maybe I'm having to lower my standards. I'm all on board with Hampton, Henderson, Jeanty, Johnson from Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally on board with all those guys.
Yeah, especially, you know, when you look at their history of like the head scratcher picks that not a lot of people were high on in the media. You know, you had a partial hit on Van Der Esch, you missed on Taco, you missed on Mozzie, you missed on Guyton, you hit on Tyler Smith. That's 1.5 out of the last five. Like, whoa, what are they doing? Was the reaction from the media like, you know, I think the media scouts would have outdrafted the Cowboys over the last 5 years. Anybody could have taken CeeDee Lamb.
And Howie Roseman kind of was getting a little bit of negative criticism because that's kind of what he tends to do. It's like, who's the best available on that Kuiper deal that you're seeing on ESPN, which is what the media scouts would be saying. But Howie, if you look at his drafts, he's kind of followed that.
Yeah.
But you look at the last 4 years, his first three-round picks, all of them ended up making an impact.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in my last couple of minutes here, all the running backs that, you know, with the exception of Johnson, or I mean, my one, if I don't take Ginty, my ones and my twos with the exception of one guy, but I have a feeling that Johnson, I think, is better than Hampton and Henderson.
I do too. I've got him as the second best back.
I would say he's likely going to go before you pick at 44th. That would be my guess. Okay, here's another thing you have to think about. In this mock draft, wide receiver, mm-hmm. if you don't take one at 19, or excuse me, at 12, they go at 19, they go at 25, and they go at 30. So now you're in a situation where are you feeling comfortable taking potentially second round, I mean, maybe some second or third round wide receivers mm-hmm. at that spot at 44. If you don't grab, you're going to lose your first round if you don't take one of these guys, and you're going to lose maybe one play. In my book, you're going to lose Golden in the second round there at 44. So to me, there's a couple of different ways I think you could go here. I think you got to think about that wide receiver, and I think you're going to have to think about the running back at that 12 spot. You know, because to me, when behind you, this thing is going to start getting picked off, and you might be in a situation where you're going to end up taking guys out of a round later than where you were picking at the second round, and then also in the third round.
Good stuff, Brian. Painting the picture as the build-up to the draft continues. Krusty's mm-hmm. Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Shout-out to Daniel Cox, 10-year-old. It's his birthday, too.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah. He's out there cruising around in DFW with his daddy. So salute to both you boys out there. Salute. Okay, Wolchuk, let's do some baseball, man. Are you ready for spring training or what?
Let's do it. We got a little bit of an audio buffet. We'll hear from Evan Carter, Corey Seager, and Bruce Boch talking the favorite pitcher of the birthday boy. That's next in the Nation.
This is how flying should be. That's what a Breeze guest recently said about Breeze Airways. Breeze flies nonstop to Sarasota, Bradenton, and more straight from Long Island MacArthur Airport. Breeze not only makes travel easy and affordable, but they offer flexible and friendly change policies, have high-speed Wi-Fi, and a premium first-class seat called Breeze Ascent. It's time you choose to fly Breeze. What are you waiting for? Book your flight today at flybreeze.com. Breeze Airways, seriously nice, in partnership with Visit Bradenton.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Over the last 20 years, people have described the overnight as one of the most powerful experiences of their lives. Now is the perfect time to join us as people from all over the country come together to stop suicide. Walk over 16 miles from dusk till dawn to raise much-needed funds for this important cause. You'll form lasting friendships, experience healing and love, and bring hope to those affected by suicide. Be a part of this life-changing event. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. June 21st. Register now at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT. That's 888-843-6837.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.